We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day to day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football.
Hello, welcome in from Bourbon A. Episode 101.
Oh, we're still going with the numbers?
Oh, we're still counting. Okay. We no longer have football players.
No, no.
And
okay.
I'm not going to bother to look up referees. It's just not going to happen.
I think you would. You love those guys.
My guy Walt Anderson was at practice today.
Yeah? You going to make the meeting later on?
We'll see.
One year I almost fell asleep in that. They dimmed the lights. They put on their little slideshow and they talk very low.
And you're like, I don't care.
I've had a long day outside.
Well, you did not have a long day outside today,
no.
So you have no excuse.
This reminds me of Ireland, though.
I was going to say, you brought the weather back with you. First of all, welcome back to the podcast.
It's good to be back.
Adam Johns, everybody, is back. Yep, there he is.
Adam Johns! Thank you, Kyle.
We have our sound effects back. We have our, you know what, the podcast is just back. Appreciate Jared Payton and Eric Edholm filling in.
Fantastic fill-ins.
You missed episode 100.
Kind of bummed.
I mean, it was a huge celebration we had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean we had no celebration.
Yeah, we
basically just recorded in another episode. But you're here. How was Ireland?
Fantastic. Kind of nursing a 7-day hangover here. A lot of Guinness. Good time with my beautiful wife and her family. And it was a good trip. Kind of relaxing.
I was wondering when you did not show up at Donlin's last night if you were... If your excuse was going to be you were hungover or the time change.
Well, there is a little jet lag, yeah, but 7 days of drinking Guinnesses and Carlsbergs and Peronis and what else, Smittics. Those could be some heavy beers, my friend.
Yeah.
You know what's popular is Coors Light.
Yeah. In Ireland?
Odd, yeah.
Wow.
It's like there's no Miller Lite. Some places had Budweiser, but it was there'd be taps of Guinness, Carlsberg, Smittics, and right next to it, those silver bullets, Coors Light.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Would not have thought that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had some fun at your expense while you were gone.
I heard. I saw on Twitter that you guys are so kind.
Yeah, we question your work ethic.
Who needs enemies with friends like these? Am I right?
We said that you were holding out for a new contract for the podcast.
That is partially true.
Yeah. But you're here. You reported to camp. Were you in shape? Did you pass the
I did pass the test.
Okay.
I did. Barely. Just barely.
All right.
Better than Eddie Goldman. But good.
Yeah. You know, until yesterday when you actually get down here, that was pretty much the only drama we had. Oh, we had the Pernell McPhee stuff last week.
Yeah, I brought some drama with me, too.
Yeah.
The coach situation.
You did that.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't just live with,
no.
Oh, we have an assistant coach who's actually telling us some things. Not that it's, you know, secrets. Just interesting things that we
some
can write
yeah.
and talk about. And no, that was not possible. It had to turn into a big controversy.
Yeah.
We'll never hear from Zach Azani again.
I had to write that story, and I'm sure our listeners know what's going on with the Kevin White college film conundrum. Who watched it? Where they watched it?
Well, they don't. We're going to get into it.
Yes. For my first story to write this year from Bourbon A, I'm sitting there. I'm like, what is going on? You know, what did Zach Azani say? I had to listen to a lot of audio. Kevin White was definitely not. He was very terse when it came to certain subjects. So, way to kick off my camp here.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. Follow him at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read me at WGNRadio.com/pairs. Him at ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where you can find his piece on. We both wrote about Kevin White and Zach Asani yesterday. Slightly different takes. We'll get into that. And you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Listen to it on TuneIn. We're on the WGN Radio app. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate when you do that because it helps spread the word. All right. So, yeah, I mean, we're gonna go through this a little bit, and I have a bunch of audio to play. So we'll get into kind of what happened. But this actually goes back to May. At least in my opinion, it does. We talked to Zach Azzani in May. That was the first time we got a chance to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was hired from Tennessee. He's been a lifelong college coach.
He's coached some good ones.
18 years in the college ranks. I overlap with him a little bit at Wisconsin. He was at Wisconsin for 1 year, so he was not completely unfamiliar to me. And as something I've been – I haven't said this on the radio or on the podcast yet or even written about it, but it kind of dawned on me last night as I was talking to some of our colleagues. You know, he comes here with a very similar resume as Mike Groh did. Mike Groh, the former wide receivers coach for the Bears, who moved on to the Rams last year and is now with the Eagles, yep. Alshon Jeffrey. But it has a good reputation so far in the NFL, even though he's had to bounce around a little bit. But he was a recruiting coordinator at Alabama. Azzani was a recruiting coordinator at Tennessee, might not be Alabama, still the SEC, still big-time college football, and he gets hired in the offseason. We talked to him in May, and obviously the big storyline with the wide receivers is Kevin White. Can he rebound from these broken bones the last couple of years and try to salvage his career? And, you know, let's be honest, Azzani's number one job when he gets hired is, hey, you need to get the most out of our former number one pick. So obviously they felt like this guy could do that, yes. Or they would not have hired him. So in our first conversation with him back in May, Azzani offered up that Kevin White does not like things that written said about him, and he brought up the B word, bust. He does not, in other words, he does not like seeing things questioning whether or not he's a bust. Who yeah. would? Completely understandable. But an indication that, hey, Kevin White is aware of this stuff. It's kind of my job to keep it away from him. Okay, fast forward to Monday, a very long, interesting, candid conversation with Zach Azzani. And if you're up for it, I'd like to just play like a three-minute chunk
right.
of basically the everything that was said between us reporters and Zach Azzani on Monday.
What have you seen from Kevin White? Obviously, you weren't here, but bad 2 years in terms of injuries, yeah. and now he's getting back. Is it tough for him to maintain a positive attitude given what he's happened, or what have you seen from him?
You know what? I don't think it's tough for him to maintain a positive attitude. We talk about a golf shot every day. Like, what keeps you coming back to practice? You did. What was the one thing in practice yesterday that, you know, that one golf shot that you remember that got you excited, that wants you to come back for more? So every day we do that in our room. He always has, you know, a couple plays that, you know, you see. What we this morning, me and him watched his West Virginia highlight film again. Just, I'm like, look at this. You know, and he forgets that sometimes because of the battled 2 years that he's had. And he's had a really good 3 days. I'm pleased with him. First day was great. Second day was okay. Today he comes back out. And, you know, he's buying in. It's still a process, but he's buying in. You see flashes of what we want him to be, what he wants to be. We just gotta block out the noise for him. I can't let him read papers and media, and I just can't let him. I mean, I just can't, because there's gonna be some negative in there that gets into his head, and he can't let that happen. He's gotta be positive, and we gotta go in our bunker in there. And I got to tell him how great he is all the time, because he is.
You talked about watching that tape.
Yeah, is that
about watching that tape. Do you see that same player, that explosiveness? Do you see that same
I have this camp. I did not in OTAs because, again, he was just kind of getting back, right? But I have this camp. Every snap, no, not yet. But, man, there's been some times out there he's made some plays where, okay, you're like, yeah, that's the guy. I mean, just big, strong, physical. He's in really good shape right now. He's running better than he was in OTAs. You know, he was still a little heavy-legged in OTAs coming off that. I think what he did in the summer, you can see right now. You know,
what did you want him to see?
I want him to see how he owned the ball in the air. I used to go up and just grab that ball out of the air, and he's starting to do that again. I know he had a drop in one-on-ones the other day. And the other thing is, you know, he's a prideful kid, and he lets that beat him up, and you cannot do that. You got to snap and clear. You can't let one drop give you another drop, right? I mean, Kobe Bryant takes 60 shots a game. There's a reason, right? He clears it out. Like, he didn't even take those first 59, and he keeps shooting, and that's what Kevin's got to do. He's got to put it away, snap and clear, and we got to be on the positives too. He might have ran a great route. He did, actually, on that one. Great release, physical, violent, ran a great route. Now he's got to finish it. So you got to also understand there's some good in there too, and I got to stay on him and build his confidence.
Do you think that's a byproduct, though, of him feeling the heat of being the seventh pick and not being out on the field but for four games in his first 2 years, so everything is now magnified, even maybe for himself?
He says not, but I think it's human nature. Sure. Yeah. You know, if he had no conscience, maybe not. But he does. He's a prideful guy. He's got some conscience. He wants to do well for Chicago. You know, for Ryan Pace, for Coach Fox, for Dow, all these guys, for me, he wants to do well. And I tell him, don't worry about all that. Worry about you. Do well for you. You know, don't worry about the media and the people outside. That'll all come. Let's go be the best player you can be. Sounds so coach speak, but for him right now, absolutely 100% true. And we can't get ahead of ourselves with him.
He's the kid to successful preseason for him. When you get to week one, what do you hope he's accomplished?
That he's gotten better every day. He establishes a style of play, a hard edge, play physical. He's not going to be perfect. But you know what? Effort will make it right when you're wrong. Giving maximum effort. All those things are a plus for me because we'll build that. It's a marathon, not a sprint. He's not going to come out here tomorrow and be a Pro Bowl player. He's going to slowly work himself into that, and I'm going to help him.
What are your thoughts just listening to what Azani had to say on Monday?
First impression, again, if I was there, he said nothing wrong.
He seems to have a great pulse on Kevin White.
Yes, yes. And even Fox would say that Fox's number one job is building these guys up confidently. So obviously you have a player who's played in four games in his first 2 years, coming off two major surgeries on his lower left leg. There's going to be confidence issues with his physical makeup, running routes, cutting, all that stuff, jumping, leaping. There's going to be some confidence issues mentally, playing again, getting over some the hurdles you establish mentally just because you haven't played in so many things. I mean, there's a unique pressure on Kevin White. First-round pick, hasn't played much, and that bust label has been thrown out there by the media. There are fans who have completely given up on this kid. Now, the Bears haven't. Zach Azani hasn't, but just in terms of where we are now, why this is such a point of contention, I think it is kind of media-based. I think we read it kind of the same way, but I could see where it could be inferred in this situation where he says, me and him. Watch the tape. He didn't mention anybody else. He didn't mention that Victor Cruz was there. Or it was Kendall Wright's idea. Or that he was in the back setting up practice schedules and stuff like that. It sounded like that it was him and Kevin White sitting down watching his game film together. And when he was asked a follow-up by Dan Weider of the Tribune about what he wanted him to see, it sounded almost like it was a coaching point now, teaching moment. And he wanted to see, but again, maybe they didn't even talk about it. And that's what he hoped that Kevin White would realize, that he saw him owning the football and taking over games and whatnot. So that's why I found when Kevin White stepped to the podium and this became a topic of conversation, such a good anecdote, it became very, can we call it negative?
Yeah. Well, I have all that too here to play. Let's go back to the B word, the bust word, because that's something Azani brought up on his own.
Azani surely reads the articles himself.
Right, and he didn't bring it up like, I think he's a bust. He just like was like being honest that word's out there, and it's something he needs to address with Kevin White. But what happened was it led to a line of questioning from reporters that said, hey, your receivers coach brought this up.
Yeah.
What is your response? And Kevin White, I don't think, liked that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that press conference.
Well, Mark Potash.
Mark Potash brought it up, and Kevin did not like the questioning. So I think that's relevant to this conversation because I don't think Kevin White was happy about that last time. So now we fast forward to Monday. And once again, nothing Azani said was wrong.
He wasn't out of line.
He wasn't out of line, and But what happens is it brings, I don't think it's anyone's fault, but it brings up this question of his confidence. And the West Virginia tape was presented in a way where Azani didn't exactly, I mean, he kind of took credit for it. I don't think it was reported wrong. I think we all heard the wide receivers coach say, hey, I watched this tape with him today.
Yeah.
Follow up, what did you want to see out of the tape? Well, this is what I wanted him to see. I mean, it was brought up like it was a coaching point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely was brought up that way. Now, so I don't necessarily know how much that matters, except for the fact that it was around this conversation once again about Kevin White's confidence and how, and unfortunately, it got run with nationally in a way with this Pro Football Talk headline.
NFL.com too.
What was the NFL.com headline?
We'll Google it really quick. It was like Kevin White showing him how great he is or used to be, something like that. And they use quotation marks.
Yeah. The Pro Football Talk headline, well, I want to make sure I have it word for word. Bears trying to remind Kevin White he was once good at football.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's an unfair way to spin.
Go back to
what happened.
Reload their page from stuff today. They followed up on our follow-ups on this.
Oh, really?
And their headline was still kind of anti-White.
So they kind of doubled down on... Because we all mentioned this in our story, because I think it was clearly the reason for what upset Kevin White. Now, of course, the ironic thing here is that Zach Azani was talking this in the context of how he needs to keep Kevin White away from this stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it blew up into a story off day that clearly Kevin White did not stay away from.
Yes. That was my angle. Kevin White's response proved Zach Azani right.
It did.
Yes.
It absolutely did. And I think that's a right angle to take. So, anyway.
Should we play White?
Yeah.
I feel.
Because this stewed on Tuesday. Tuesday was an off day. This is when all these headlines kind of circulated. And then Kevin White begins Wednesday morning. They go back to practice. And he begins Wednesday morning with a tweet that said, "Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see." Then he meets with the media after practice, and this is what he had to say about the West Virginia tape.
As far as a college film, that was amongst players, me, Kendall Wright, Victor Cruz. It was actually Kendall's idea to watch each other college film since we had a little time off, and watch mine and then watch Kendall's and then watch Victor Cruz when he was with the Giants. So as far as that goes, that's all I know.
What did you get out of it? Yeah. What did you see in yourself when you're watching yourself
there? We just wanted to watch each other college film. Just was reminiscing. Nothing.
Do you need any reminder of what you're capable of when you're healthy? Do you need anything?
No, I see it every day when I watch film.
Kevin, what did you mean when you tweeted this morning, "Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see"?
It was just a quote. I think some people may take a story and run with it, and wasn't true. So that's just how I feel about some things. Some people, like if I would tell you a secret, and by the time it got across from everybody and it get to me, it wouldn't be the same. So that's really it.
Was there a story in particular that?
Oh no, just general stuff.
What's Coach Rosano doing for you right now?
Coaching me like everybody else.
Do you feel like he's giving you a boost at all this season?
As far as
just helping you get better, there's specific areas that he's dialed in on with you that are pushing you forward.
Yeah, I think everyone as a staff is helping me and everyone else get better.
Did you take exception to the film story, the West Virginia film story?
What was the story?
About you watching your college tape.
What about the college tape?
Just that they showed it to you.
Who showed it to me?
Coach Azani. Is that true or is it not true?
Like I said, it was me, Kendall Wright, Victor Cruz. Watch mine, watch Kendall's, and then watch Victor Cruz, Giants.
When was that?
2 days ago.
What did you think about the moments you had out there at practice?
It was cool. Just got to continue to do my job, continue to get open. And continue to play hard.
Kevin, how badly do you want a game or need a game to not only kind of see some tangible results of what you're working on, but also kind of to get the critics off your back and to kind of?
I really don't pay attention to the outside noise. I've been like that ever since I got in the league. So you guys can criticize. I'm probably criticizing myself 100 times harder than anyone else can. So. Criticize. This is what you're here to do. I'm here to play football, have fun, and do it at a high level.
So I think that it's pretty obvious, though, that he does pay attention to the outside noise.
Absolutely.
And that's what Zach Azani is talking about, that he's got to try to keep him away from this. And this whole episode, I think, is a result of him not staying away from it and taking exception to how a story kind of took off. Now, I think if we had a chance to talk to Coach Azani, and maybe we will.
We'll not have that for another...
Early November.
Yep.
When next time he's available to the media during the bye week. I think he'd probably tell us that maybe he embellished the story just a little bit. But I don't think the issue is that he necessarily did that. I think it's just that it turned into like this, oh, Kevin White needs to watch tape from his college to get confidence back.
Yeah, it turned into a lack of confidence story. And there were questions about that.
And that's what I think. And I think that's what Kevin White is really upset about here. And that's why I don't... Maybe there's some concern going forward about the relationship between them and the trust in the wide receivers room, but I don't necessarily think it's that big of a deal.
No. I mean, I think the story now is... Kevin White's got to learn how to handle the scrutiny better, because this is just, it's August 3rd. I know training camp stories tend to take on a life of its own, and this is one of them where things, it's training camp. Stories like this will come about and become more controversial than maybe they are, but the scrutiny, the criticism of Kevin White is not going to go away. He's going to be held to the first-round pick standard. It's like Shea McClellan. He had to live up to that first-round pick standard. It's fair. I don't think it's unfair in any regard. You were a top-10 pick. You need to play like one. And for obvious reasons, he hasn't. But there's going to be a lot more criticism heading Kevin White's way. And look, I don't know if like Zach Azani walks into the meeting room and there Kevin White is on his phone. Maybe he's got the Sun-Times open, you know, and he's slamming his, you know, throwing it around, using us as kitty litter or something. You know, maybe he just, I know a lot of players, they say they don't read us, but they do.
Yeah.
They all do in every sport. Look, Patrick Kane used to say he never reads us whatsoever. I once walk into the locker room and he's got the pile of clips. This is the Blackhawks star player, literally going through every article one by one.
Yeah, because for those that don't know, the media relations staff will pull together all the stories every day in a little packet.
For every team in the city, every football team does it too. So these clips are compiled and sent via email to everyone in the Bears organization. So they're there for you. And obviously Fox knew about him. He snidely remarked, you know, you guys took it and ran. So I get that sometimes stories taking a life of their own, especially with this aggregated national media, and they do what they do. But Kevin White, I really think he just could have handled the situation better and thrown some cold water on it, especially when we're asking about your coach. I get maybe like in the front of your mind, you're trying to diffuse the situation by not commenting on this. You're being as terse as possible, but that just made it worse.
Yeah.
It sounded like you don't like the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it did not come across as good. I mean, Dan Weider was asking questions like, "What? How has Coach Azani helped you?"
And as far as,
and then he follow up and all the coaches are helping me.
Yeah,
like that was not.
This is your particular receipt. This is the coach who was hired to coach your particular position.
Yeah,
and not the same.
And if anyone thinks that we're kind of taking that in a different direction than we should, we talked to Cam Meredith. I should have already teased this. Cam Meredith you're going to hear from him in this podcast. We talked to him today, just the two of us with Cam Meredith, and we asked him about Coach Azani. His answer was different. Victor Cruz, which I'm going to play in a second, was asked today about Coach Azani, and his answer was a lot different. So. But I do think this opens up a question of Azani's tactics, because he does come from the college background. He's never coached in the NFL before. And I found this interesting. This was something that kind of got washed over because Azani talked for as long as he did, and then this sort of stuff with Kevin White took over. But I found this to be a very interesting answer to a question about his coaching tactics and how the players he was kind of admitting the players are kind of adjusting to it because he does have sort of this college approach.
I just constantly hear that you can't coach like this. You can't coach like college in the NFL. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think you can. I think they want it. I think they want that tight knit, that brotherhood, that coach stay on me. I think they want to all be pushed and be good. And if you let them kind of taper off and it's too cool for school in the NFL, and now we don't do it that way, you know, I think you're missing the boat. I think those guys want that, and that's why they started playing. You know, they get a paycheck now. I get that, but they didn't get a paycheck for a long, long time, and they still got pushed. You know, so they're having fun with it. We're creating that hard edge, and it's fun. It's a work in progress, and it's you got to find ways to. Each guy is different. You got to find ways to kind of present how we're going to do that and how they're going to buy in. And we do some corny stuff in my room in our meetings, but they're buying in and having fun with it.
And that's when he went into this tactic he has of giving away a green army man every night at the end of their meetings, kind of to the soldier of the day is what he called it. And by the way, and I pointed this out in my story yesterday about Kevin White, that's how Kevin White's press conference started yesterday. And when he was asked about that, his eyes lit up. And he was like, yeah, I want to win that competition.
Yeah.
So, which to me, I read is like, okay, well, I don't know how much you like Coach Izzani right now in this moment, but his tactics seem to be working on you. And oh, by the way, Kevin White had his best practice yesterday,
yes,
too. He looked pissed off on the field,
mm-hmm,
which, by the way, is exactly how the Bears want him playing.
Yeah.
They want him to be more aggressive. They want him to be playing angry because that's how he – when he would catch passes and run that way with the ball in his hands at West Virginia, that's what made him an All-American.
I think, at least what I've learned, a lot of the coaches are the same, right? They all want to try to motivate these guys, and they use different tactics. So, yeah, see, there's some differences there, but their goals are all the same. I don't get the big difference between college and the pros and some of these guys. Remember last year, Curtis Johnson?
He rode them as hard as anybody.
Oh, he was yelling at these guys left and right.
Yeah.
Is that not like college? That's very much like high school.
Yeah.
High school coaches will ride you to no end.
Here's what Victor Cruz said about the college tactics today.
It's going well. Obviously, he likes to call his tactics a little collegey. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I think it's great. I think it's kind of refreshing for me to have a guy that is from a college program and has those types of work ethic from a guy of a college program. He wants the ball tucked away. He wants us to burst through the line after we catch, you know, a 5-10 yard route. He wants those. He wants that attention to detail. And it's good for us. I mean, we have a relatively young room, and that kind of attention to detail is only going to make us better. And I think Coach Z is a tremendous coach, and he's helping us every way he can.
So there's a longtime veteran in the NFL saying that Azani's tactics are refreshing.
Yeah. And with all due respect to Kevin White, he hasn't proved anything. He should be open to it. With all due respect to Victor Cruz, the Bears are the only team who wanted to sign him. Kendall Wright, you're here on one-year deals. Full of incentives. Cam Meredith, we'll play him in a little bit, seemed to fully embrace the whole situation. The undrafted guy who's now your number one receiver. So I know there's egos to manage, especially in that receiver's room. We've dealt with a lot of egos with pass catchers in recent years at Hallis Hall. But look, approaches will vary. I shouldn't say all coaches are similar, but their goals are all similar. They just have different ways to do it, and they should be open to anything. I mean, they're a group that people are openly questioning across the league. I mean, who's going to catch the ball for the Bears? Everybody keeps asking that. Tight ends so deep. The receivers, bunch of nothings.
And the receivers had a really slow start to camp, I thought. And Kevin White was virtually invisible until Wednesday's practice. I mean, the first 5 days of camp, which included two non-padded practices, one non-padded practice, a walkthrough, and then two padded practices. Oh, and then the non-padded practice on Monday too. Anyway, there's five practices/workouts. I don't remember him making a huge play, right? That was sort of the thinking on Monday as we went I bet you that had part of the. Was part of his thinking too. I mean, where he was frustrated. Well, he came out Wednesday and looked a lot better. So he may not want to admit it, but it kind of seemed like it worked. Now, today's practice got rained out. They went inside, had a walkthrough. So I don't – I mean, it would have been much better if we could have been able to see another padded practice today. It sounds like that's what they'll end up doing tomorrow, kind of changing up the schedule. But it'll certainly be interesting to watch going forward. Most importantly, again, Kevin White just needs to play and play better. And if he does, then I think he'll be just fine with Zach Kozani.
Yeah. First preseason game is a week away.
Yeah, a week from today.
Denver Broncos?
Yeah.
Right? I don't think they're going to see much of Kevin White, but still. Look, this.
Why wouldn't they see Kevin White? Kevin White needs to play.
Yeah, but it's the first preseason game.
Remember, he played in that fourth preseason game last year.
That's true. Yeah, you could be
right.
Because
they needed it. He needs the reps.
Yeah.
He needs the practice.
Maybe I should say, are you going to expect to see those Denver Broncos star cornerbacks?
Yeah.
It would be good for Kevin White. But
I mean, there's guys like Akeem Hicks I wouldn't play. I might not even play Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
He might be established enough that he doesn't even need to see a carry in that game. But someone like Kevin White, you need him to get reps to get that confidence. I think that's clearly a storyline with him. All right, well, we can move on. We can do the Cam Meredith interview next. But let's lighten things up. We haven't heard this in a long time. It's been a really long time since we did this. So let's go ahead with our favorite segment. What does the fox say?
I asked a question again. I cracked myself up.
What
the
fox say? What was the question?
It had to do with Mitch Trubisky. Or someone asked about Trubisky, and he started answering it like Mitch Unrein, or vice versa. He confuses Mitches.
Okay, so
then he made some kind of joke, and then he kind of forgot the question, and so he was,
what the?
I asked a question again. I cracked myself up.
Love it.
Yeah. He's John Fox. John Fox has been discussing injuries a little bit more with us this year.
You think so? I've only been here for 2 days.
I know you haven't experienced this yet, but he ditched the daily injury report. He hasn't been doing that.
Yeah.
But if you ask him, he's been offering more details.
Until we start asking about every single guy again.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that in the regular season, but so far he's been... You know, I mean, he came clean about Purnell surgery, the scope.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been instead of just saying everyone's day to day, he's talked a little bit more about injuries. So I don't want to jinx it, but that's happening.
Sorry. Got a little news here on the phone.
Yeah.
We'll share it in a little bit.
Okay.
Just making sure.
Well, should we...
First,
we could dive into the Cam Meredith.
Is this the first training camp transaction, maybe? I don't know.
Is that too early?
We could tease it. We'll tease it. They're just going to sign a running back.
Oh.
Because there's a running back who is injured and has been practicing much.
Number 33.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Langford.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you keep working.
So sorry about that. I know you're like looking at me like I'm going to kick you in the face for looking at your phone.
Well, no, it's fine. We can, why don't we go into our Cam Meredith interview from today and you can continue to work while we do our podcast. How about that?
Double time. Overtime.
Yeah. Well, you've been gone for
it's good to be back.
Yeah. You owe us like 1,900 transcriptions.
I got out of that mess again today.
You didn't even transcribe today. You should have to do like a week's worth.
I probably should. I have a reputation, everybody, of skipping out in these group transcriptions, and it's a well-earned reputation. But I offered my services up today. It's not my fault I didn't step to the podium listen to what Adrian Amos had to say.
Well, I don't want you to volunteer for all the transcriptions because we'll be waiting for it until
that's
7
true.
p.m.
I'm meticulous.
All right. Today we had a chance to talk to Cam Meredith, who is really now your number one wide receiver. And it's very interesting because last year at this time, his NFL life was a lot different than it is now as he's in this camp with the Bears. So we had a chance to talk to Cam.
Here it is. Sorry, we'll put it up.
You got it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wait.
No, it's too late.
Okay.
The Bears have signed running back Josh Rounds.
Josh who?
It's Tulane.
What's his last name?
Rounds.
Rounds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was disappointing.
Come on. He still got my sneeze saved.
That was the worst breaking news we've ever had on this podcast. Although it was actually legit breaking news, technically.
Yes. Yes. It's okay.
All right. Here's the interview with Cam Meredith. All right, let's bring in Cam Meredith here. Man, what a difference a year makes. This time last year in Bourbonnais, you weren't even sure if you were going to make the team. Things are a lot different this year, aren't they?
Yeah. But I think that's a testament to not only my work ethic, but also being presented opportunities and taking advantage. And I think that's what this league is all about. When you get presented an opportunity, you have to be ready to burst through the door. And, you know, I still have another opportunity here with the year coming up. And, you know, I'm just excited to stay in the moment and keep building.
What do the words number one receiver mean to you?
I don't really focus on that too much. I mean, I know being a number one receiver means that you're the dependable guy, you're reliable, you're going to be consistent throughout, you know, week one to week 16. And that's what I'm building right now is, you know, going out to practice, being the same person each day in, day out. So, you know, I know it's a little bit more, I wouldn't say pressure, but it's more responsibility on your hands. And, you know, I'm fine with that because that's what we're here for.
What's the biggest thing you learned last season is, you know, guys were coming in and out. It seemed like the receiver group was different every week. You were just kind of the one consistent guy every week. How did you do that?
I mean, going in every game, I had the mindset that this could be, you know, a make or break game for me, you know, personally, because last year was my opportunity to go out and show people that I could actually play and I wasn't just another player. So to go out there with that mindset every week was the best thing for me mentally and, you know, to go out there and show it.
When do you think things kind of clicked for you last year? Because kind of in the middle of the season, things kind of just took off. Is there a certain moment, certain game, certain play that you kind of remember that really, you know, you felt like you turned the corner and this could be a full-time spot for me?
I mean, throughout the whole season last year, at the beginning of the season, like you said, obviously I didn't know how close I was to the fringe of making the team. But, you know, the season started to go by. I got better in practice. My reps started to become better. And in the Indianapolis game, I had 100 yards. And, you know, I was like, all right, this is a good game, but let's see if I can do it again. And I did it a couple weeks later. So, you know, just building those reps, building those games back-to-back and building my confidence up, that was the most important thing.
What is the wide receiver room like now? You got a new coach in there. You got veterans like Victor Cruz mm-hmm. in there. How's it different?
I wouldn't say it's a lot different, but, you know, we have more guys to give feedback to each other. You know what I mean? Because JB and DT and Alshon, they were all veterans last year. And they, you know, me and Kevin were the young ones. So this year, I think we kind of just replaced, you know, some more of the veterans and added some on. But they bring a lot to the table, you know, coaching-wise and, you know, just piggybacking off of each other and, you know, taking stuff that he says or taking his stuff in his game and applying it to my own. So a lot of that stuff is, you know, give and take.
Zach Azani's kind of told us about this Green Army Man thing, some of the different tactics he's using with you guys. He admits it's corny. Seems like you guys are buying in, though.
Yeah, I've yet to get my first one, so still going out there to practice, trying to make plays that, you know, stand out and, you know, just being that guy every rep, every play, and, you know, hopefully the coaches start taking notice, especially Coach Z, and I can get my little Army guy.
You got to watch where you put those. We have those. My son has, like, thousands of them, I feel like, and they're, like, worse than Legos when you step on them. They're absolutely brutal. You know, there used to be this old rule in fantasy football. You look for a receiver entering his third year coming off a breakout second season, and it was like guaranteed recipe for success, big numbers. How many of your friends are telling you that they're drafting you in their fantasy football team?
I mean, I've been hearing that since I got in the league, yeah. You know, because, you know, there's people close to me that, you know, they're supporting me and stuff like that, but it's good to know that that's that. So I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, I don't really put my head in the fantasy game too much, so I just try to stay focused on my game.
Let's talk a little bit about your new quarterbacks. What is? It seems like everyone's kind of gravitating around Mike Glennon as a leader on the team. Heard about the wind sprints he makes you guys run. He's holding you guys accountable. What have you come to appreciate about Mike Glennon so far?
I've come to appreciate everything about Mike. I mean, from how he acts in meetings to how he carries himself off the field to how he interacts with us, you know, just on a day-to-day routine. You know, he's our guy, so us building that relationship with him each and every day is very important, and for it to come so easily, I think it's the best thing for us.
Do you guys have a – this is this situation changed when Mitch Witt was drafted. Do you have an appreciation for maybe what he's going through and how he's embracing maybe this 1 year as far as he's guaranteed about being the Bears quarterback?
Talking about Mike?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like especially when the draft happened, I was kind of – I wouldn't say surprised, but – you know, anything is possible during the draft. But, you know, it's kind of the same situation he was in Tampa Bay. So I feel like this is kind of a, you know, a start, renewing season for him. And he gets a chance to go out there and prove that, hey, I'm not, you know, just a backup. I mean, I'm a starter in this league and I can win the games, you know. So I'm excited to help him out in that regard and to go out there and make plays for the team and all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to the season.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, do you take some pride in kind of helping him do that to make sure that he has that kind of success too?
Most definitely. I mean, as a receiver, it's your job to catch the ball, but also to make the quarterback look good. So, you know, if he throws it anywhere, we got to go catch it. So, you know, I'm glad to go out there and make plays for him, and especially because he's such a good dude. So, you know, he's an our leader. He leads the team so well. He leads the huddle. So, you know, I'm excited to have him here and have him be our guy. So,
last one for you. Is St. Joe's now a football school? I mean, how proud are you from what you've come from?
I'm really proud, especially because they went to the playoffs for the first time. I think it was last year or the year before. So for some more guys to come out of St. Joe's to be noticed, I mean, before I came out, I think there was one guy who ever played in the NFL. So now we've got me, Jaleel Johnson. He plays for Minnesota now. He got drafted. You know, going back just to the campus, seeing all the young guys look up to me and, you know, hearing their aspirations and stuff. So, you know, that's really important to me. But, you know, I'm glad it was I was given an opportunity to get up here.
All right, so there's Cam Meredith, your number one wide receiver for now, unless Kevin White can. We'll see how it shakes up. I mean, the thing about this is, the Bears could have a decent wide receiver tandem there if Kevin White gets better and Cam Meredith kind of takes this next step up, because last year was a kind of a breakout year. But if, you know, I think they believe he has the ability to break out even more, kind of more on the sort of a national stage across the NFL. But it sounds like he's kind of embracing that role.
Yeah. Well, the confidence is there. If we're going to talk about confidence in receivers, I was thinking today as we were watching this riveting walkthrough and the way they were aligning and stuff like that. You know, everybody's kind of writing off what the Bears receivers could be. But, you know, hear me out. What if Kevin White is 80% of what he was expected to be? What's that, very number two receiver?
Yeah.
And Cam Meredith continues on his ascension, and he's this 6'3", long.
Well, I would actually say, I mean, if you're drafting a guy number 7 overall, it should be a slam dunk number 1.
Right, but he's
Kevin White.
Two major surgeries on his lower left leg. Yeah. The circumstances have changed. What if Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, or Victor Cruz, one out of the three has to be something, right? The odds are there. One out of three has to be something. And you got the good tight ends and whatnot, and you got everybody clearly watching Jordan Howard in the backfield. These receivers, I may sound overly optimistic because I'm coming off a 7-day bender in Ireland, but they could surprise some people. If Mike Glennon is decent, better than average, the Bears could have some decent receiving threats. I mean, I get why you want to question them, but I wouldn't completely write them off. I think that's unwise. I think Cam Meredith, as we heard, is a guy who has some confidence. He's completely embracing the possibility of being a number one receiver in his third NFL season. I would be... I'm cautiously optimistic about the receivers group right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I it's a weird group. It's a weird group because it's like it's a lot of unknowns, huge questions that with a number of guys, and you wonder, is there a ceiling with all of them?
Well, of course.
Like as good as Cam Meredith was last year, he's still an undrafted free agent. You know, was last year as good as it gets? With Kevin White, can he ever be the same player because of his legs? Is Victor Cruz done? Does he have something left?
Yeah.
Kendall Wright's not really lived up to expectations. You know, is he going to start to deliver? Marcus Wheaton seems to be a guy who they feel like has upside, may get more of an opportunity here. They love his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I like his attitude, too. He seems to be kind of a fun player. And someone that's good for the room, but now he has an appendectomy and he's going to be out a couple weeks. So I don't know. It's a very interesting room of wide receivers with a college-y coach, and I think that I don't think it's going to be a bad group. I just wonder if anyone's really going to step up and be a number one wide receiver.
Look, is it like what the Broncos have thrown out there in recent years? Look at the Patriots. They got like Julian Edelman out there as the number one receiver. I mean, it all matters in terms of what you could do within the offense in certain situations. Yes, it's nice to have a superstar. But Brandon Marshall is a superstar here. Alshon Jeffrey had the potential to be a superstar here.
Yeah.
You know, so things can work 1,000 directions, but I just think it's unwise to write them off. I think there could be some potential here. And I could be completely just still full of Guinness and stuff and fish and chips. But this...
I don't think it's going to be a bad group.
I mean, look at those three free agents. One of those guys has to click.
That, I mean, I
and
think
you're
that's
not
their
looking
thinking.
For 1,000 yards out of any of them. If you get 500 or 600 yards out of a Marcus Wheaton, that's a pretty good free agent signing. Am I right?
Yeah. No, it would be. Yeah. I just we react to things that look good down here, and it's been an underwhelming group so far.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback position.
Maybe.
Mike Glennon's still learning on the job.
Maybe, but I mean Cam Meredith and Kevin White did look a lot better.
Yes.
On
yes.
Wednesday. Cam Meredith was open the whole time. And I think at a minimum, he's going to be a guy you can depend on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if he can really, you know, ascend to that elite, true number one level. At a minimum, though, I think Cam Meredith is, you know, a solid number two, mm-hmm. someone that you like. You just hope that Kevin White takes that next step.
It's not like they're going to be facing Darrell Revis in his prime every single week either. There's some bad cornerbacks out there that are going to start for some good teams.
Well, and they also are hoping that their tight ends and Tariq Cohen on third down is going to create some mismatches that get these guys open.
Yeah.
That it's going to soften the blow of not having a true number one.
Yes. Less help. You get these guys in one-on-one situations, you know, with some space. So it's all in Dowell Loggins and my guy Dowell.
Why is he your guy?
Because they're both short.
Okay, fair enough. All right, the last thing I want to hit on here before we get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill hurt his leg this morning.
Oh, Jay Cutler talk.
The Jay Cutler talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I'm bummed if he leaves. I'm looking forward to him being an analyst this year.
The first game of the year. Or
he's doing the Bears.
The preseason game and then the Falcons game. I mean, it's your best article off of that is commenting on what Cutler commented on.
I know. I feel like I don't even need to go to Nashville.
Yeah.
Just cover the TV broadcast.
Yes, yes, that's the story.
So, well, there's the Adam Gase connection. First of all, we don't know how hurt Ryan Tannehill is. It didn't look good.
Yeah.
It's a non-contact knee.
Those are always bad.
Usually bad. But they're going through the MRI process. There has, at least as we record this now, by the time you listen to it, maybe the news has come out. But we're just kind of focused on the idea of Cutler returning to play for Adam Gase, a guy who got a lot out of him. And I would also bring up, now this is hard to say right now because the way this offseason went, it went in a completely different direction, and I give Ryan Pace credit for kind of, you know, having a plan and doing it, even if it wasn't completely clean. It was a little messy. But this was exactly why I kept saying the Bears should not cut Jay Cutler. Now, I think now when you're in August, you understand that maybe it needed to happen.
You needed a fresh break.
No one was going to sign. Yeah, I get it. But this reason right now is why I kept advocating for the idea of keeping Cutler around as long as possible, because someone was going to get hurt. It always happens. And now it happens to be a team that I would say is very similar to Vikings last year, that believes they can go back to the playoffs and needs a quarterback. And right now the backup's Matt Moore, and it's Adam Gase, who's familiar with Jay Cutler and had success with Jay Cutler. I mean,
So you're saying the Bears should have kept a trade chip.
Now, look, for all I know, even though Adam Gase had that success, he might be thinking, I don't want Jay Cutler.
Well, the Bears can't sign Mike Glennon, keep Jay Cutler, and draft Mitch Trubisky.
It would have been messy.
Oh, man.
I can see. Oh, great. But it was messy anyway.
Yeah. Not that messy. What do you mean messy?
Well, Glennon still can't be happy about this situation.
Of course not. But you know what? With all due respect to Mike Glennon, your contract that says 3-year deal is actually a 1-year deal, and the Bears can get out of it after this season.
But I would say, all due respect to Jay Cutler, you've been a failure here, and you have no guaranteed money on your contract, and
Correct. It's
basically year to year. So we're going to keep you around and see what happens here.
Yeah.
But we're moving on.
Yeah, I think you needed a clean break. Anyway.
And maybe he would have retired anyway. Maybe he would have said, F you, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have played out. I'm just saying, when I kept saying that back in the, even last fall and in the winter, this was kind of what I was talking about. Somewhere. Because what do you think, Jay? Now it's fair to point out, no one wanted to sign Jay.
Yeah, no one wanted to trade for him either.
No one wanted to trade for him. No one wanted to sign him. That's why he ended up broadcasting.
I just don't think you can predict injuries like this. They do come about. They seem to come about often. It does seem often. But at some point on your calendar, you have to make a decision. And that if that injury has not occurred yet, sorry, Jay, we're parting ways.
But what if Mike Glennon was the one who tore his ACL and Trubisky's not ready?
That's why Mark Sanchez is here.
Yeah, who's better than Mark Sanchez?
Jay Cutler. But one, there needed to be a clean break. Two, you got to make a decision faster than August 3rd. It has to be done before camp.
The Eagles drafted Sam Bradford's replacement last year.
Yeah, when did they make that trade, though?
And the trade for...
Yeah, because he busted his knee out, Teddy Bridgewater, during...
They made that trade Labor Day weekend. It was September.
That's true.
Camp was over. They were getting ready for week one of the season.
Those situations are different, though. So different. Okay, one, Carson Wentz comes from a pro-style system. Two, when Sam Bradford was...
But my point is, Bradford knew he had one foot out the door the second they drafted Carson Wentz.
Sam Bradford also, there was like a holdout before. He was mad.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon did not hold out, It's...
Well, I'm admitting Cutler probably would not have been happy about the situation.
Yeah.
But if it got you a second-round pick, I'm not sure what it gets you a first-round pick.
All right, what's the better story for you? Jay Cutler comeback or Jay Cutler TV analyst ripping the Bears every other week or whenever he does it?
Both would intrigue me, because when the Bears did cut him, I kind of wanted to see him end up in Houston or something like that. They end up going with Deshaun Watson, so that's fine. But, I thought that was a place that had a Super Bowl caliber defense that, with some pieces on offense that I wondered, okay, maybe Jay can have success there. The Dolphins would be interesting. I don't think they're as loaded as the Texans, but they made the playoffs last year. Adam Gase had success with them. He knows that offense. This isn't a situation where he goes in and he has no experience in the system.
Knows the lingo already. What type of shape do you think he's in? He was just in Montana.
That I would wonder about.
Yeah.
Seems like he's been on vacation a lot.
No, he is one of those type of athletes who are just going to be athletic no matter what they do. And there's been some very unathletic quarterbacks just step in. I think he'll at least entertain a phone call from Mr. Gase. They're chummy. Gase is going to pitch him hard.
You think so? You think he would want Cutler?
Yeah. I guarantee you Adam Gase at least makes that phone call.
Here's the Dolphins depth chart. Matt Moore is Tannehill's backup. Brandon Doughty is listed as the third stringer. And your guy, David Fales, is the fourth stringer. So it's not a great... Matt Moore, you're a playoff team, and you're going to go into the season with Matt Moore.
No, you should sign Jay Cutler. And I know there's going to be a debate between him and Colin Kaepernick. And actually, Kaepernick is pretty similar in what in terms of players with Ryan Tannehill, because Ryan Tannehill will run the option and all that stuff. But Jay Cutler knows Adam Gase. Adam Gase knows Jay Cutler. It makes complete sense for a Jay Cutler comeback.
Oh, man. That would be fun. I guess I'm fine with it both ways, because I'd like to see what he'd do in a different situation. And I'd also like to hear him as an analyst. So it's a win-win for me.
He can always be an analyst. Now he can lead a playoff. This could be the best team he's been on in years.
I would not be surprised, though, if he says, I'm good. They already moved to Nashville. They seem to be settled. I think he's come around on the idea of being a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. He seemed at peace with it. There's always that itch to play, but man, he's had his head beaten in the ground so much. I just wonder if he has, you know, kind of reached a point where the broadcasting lifestyle is not bad.
No.
It's not bad.
Quite plush.
You get treated well.
He's made plenty of money. He's got kids to raise.
They take care of you. You don't have to put the grind in during the week.
Everybody loves the glory, though.
Well, you get to be on TV every week still.
Oh, the gridiron, the smell.
He hasn't had much glory on the field. Get a better glory.
That's
off
why
the
he's
field.
Making a comeback.
Wow. That would be interesting. You know, when you first said you had you were working on news over there, I kind of thought that's what you were going to go with.
Well, who says we haven't been working on it?
Well, I'm sure you haven't. But when you said, oh, I got something here, I was not thinking it was the Bears signed Josh Rounds.
They had running backs. They worked out running backs today. A couple of them.
And speaking of that, the Bears have actually made it official, and they're just swapping out running backs. Josh Rounds signed Joel Bueno.
Try that again.
Was that not it? Bueno.
One more time.
I think it's Bueno. Bueno.
It does not look like that's spelled. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm just going off the NIU.
If it's really sound,
it's got to be official.
It's a fun name to say. Bueno.
So no, they just swap out running backs. Maybe that doesn't mean like the worst thing ever for Jeremy Langford then.
It's still not good. It's not good that this guy could not take the most of his reps, but
that's true.
I mean, this is training camp.
But like, if they like got rid of Connor Shaw and brought in an extra running back, look, either way, Jeremy Langford rolled his ankle, the same ankle he had surgery on in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
rolled it in a walkthrough.
Yeah,
the first walkthrough at camp. Not good.
Not good at all. He's not still not a bubble player to me. I think the competition behind him is kind of wide open. Maybe they want to see players push Kadeem Carey. I think Tariq Cohen's not going anywhere. But
Bunny Cunningham was in a non-contact jersey.
Quarterback's jersey. But
he's look, dealing with a
we're talking
thing.
About like the not even the 53rd man guy on the roster.
That's true.
That's true. Anyway.
Also, this just in, a lot of like breaking news as we're recording. But this just kind of everything we just talked about with Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Ryan Tannehill's fine.
Yeah, no damage, right?
This is
coming across tweet machine.
Yeah, just coming across Twitter right now, no structural damage to Ryan Tannehill's knee. So it was a fun discussion about Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
But it's
I would have liked to seen him come back.
It seems like he's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that would have been a fun.
We just
story,
got all
though.
Excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, we still get him in the broadcast.
Had a trip I told down you to Miami to South Beach to cover his first practice.
Oh, that'd be great.
Right.
I
beats Bourbon A, and I love Bourbon A.
Maybe he goes to the Pro Bowl and then next year plays against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Bears play the Dolphins next year.
In Miami?
In Miami.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Well, that was fun while it lasted.
Yes, yes, yes.
Good discussion about Jay Cutler potentially coming back.
We cannot
back,
go through a podcast without not using his name. He must be included.
That's true. Although I think I just did two.
We're going to be playing sound from
when
him
you,
this year.
You weren't here, and I did two of those without mentioning Jay Cutler.
Really?
So I think you're the problem.
I'm the problem. I probably am.
Yeah.
But you know we're going to have to play sound from him this year. He's going to have some comments that are just too good for, you know, for we're going to have to comment in his comments. It's just going to be too good to pass up.
No, you're right. Especially after week one. I'm looking forward to getting
I just want him, you know, like, because in our intro, that, that's a Jay Cutler. I want to hear him do that live on the air. What do you think about that play, Jay? I don't know.
I don't know.
That would be gold. That would be gold.
That would be great. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks to Cam Meredith for joining the program. Zach Azani and Kevin White for their fun drama this
storyline.
Yeah, absolutely. And welcome back, Adam.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you back.
I miss my Guinness.
Yeah, you
miss
seem
my
like
fish and chips.
you kind of seem like you're going through a withdrawal.
Irish stew. That's just the alcohol leaving my system slowly.
The food or the Guinness?
Guinness, both.
They have good beer down here.
Yeah. Well, Ireland's not known for its food. It's known for its beer.
Yeah.
And whiskey.
Oh, whiskey.
And music and late nights.
A lot of late nights you had.
Oh, plenty. Plenty
late night tonight?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? Not me.
No?
I got to be on TV in the morning.
Ooh, the morning show?
Yeah, real early. Oh. Yep.
Okay.
WGN Morning News.
Plug.
So, it'll be early, yeah. All right, anyway, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Find us on iTunes. Tune in. WGN Radio app. Please rate and review the podcast. And welcome Adam Johns back.
It's good to be back. Very good.
Talk to you next time from Bourbon A.
How big is the round?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.